It's the first one that we posted under this new name. So I wanted to make it a little more special for everybody and make it an object lesson. So first things first, this is the object. Here is the object. If you need one, raise your hand. We've actually got a whole bunch back in the back still that are out of use. So if there's anyone that would like one, let me know or raise your hand here in a second. There's a couple over here. Here they come with a box. Keep your hands raised because I want everybody to be a part of this. We can even, hey, adults too. We want to make sure that everybody got one. So if you're an adult and you need a little nightlight, raise your hand. While they're passing these out, once again, I want to thank everybody for being able to come out here tonight. We're really excited about this. For those of you that don't know, and when you start going to all the area-wise, and you're like, we're missing the church, there's Grant Street in Austinville. We came together, and we made the Decatur Church of Christ. For those of you, the youth groups, they didn't realize that. So we are now Decatur Church. We came together and formed one church. So we won't be going to the church over in downtown Decatur. As a kid, I went there when I was young, and that place freaked me out when I was a little bit of kid. Beautiful place, beautiful church, beautiful. But when I was a little kid, that place scared me to death. So, while they're finishing up, first things first, like I said, this is our object. Everybody take it out, look at it, get familiar with it, flip it over, see the little switch, there you go, you're already turning it on. Don't turn it on right now, don't do it. But look at the number. Memorize the number. You see the number? Memorize it. Get it in your head. Memorize it. You got it. You got it memorized. I'm number 4. Perfect. All right. So everybody look and see what number you are. Everybody get it memorized. And now do this with it. Set it down right beside you. Set it down in your lap. Set it somewhere where you won't be tempted to play with it as much during the lesson, flipping it on and off and everything, because the battery may not last. Never know. But there's no point in checking them. My wife went through and checked all 500 of them personally and made sure that they're all in good, proper working order. So if you happen to have one that doesn't work, it's her fault, not mine. So just remember that. Don't blame me. So we're going to move right along with this year's theme, I Am. Tonight's topic is, I Am a Light. I am a light. What does that mean to us as Christians? What does that mean to those of us that are non-Christians that haven't studied the Bible as much as they should? What does that mean to people that are outside of the world when they hear us talking about our Christian lights, talking about our light shining? What comes across their mind? What do you mean a light? How am I supposed to be a light? Like a kitchen light? Like a ray of sunshine? What am I supposed to be? Because some people don't comprehend this is pretty simple, cut and dry thing, but to some people it doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, there's many verses throughout the Bible. 2 Samuel 22:29 says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness." There's a lot of verses throughout the Bible that mention this idea. Psalms 119:105, you may even be able to know and help me out with. See if you can help me finish it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. So you know these words. You know these verses. There's some verses about this topic that you already know. But does that necessarily mean that we understand, that we fully understand what these verses, what these scriptures are actually telling us? You know, that's a dangerous thing, that when we can quote things and we can recite things to people, and we don't really know what the underlining message is, that's a dangerous thing to do. So we as Christians, we as people that go to church, we need to open the Bible and read, and we need to start studying for ourselves what these things mean. So, if you think about it, being a light is one of the first lessons that we were all introduced to as kids. That's one of the first lessons we learned as children being raised into the church. We just sang the song, This Little Christian Light of Mine, and every one of y'all sang along with it. From the youngest all the way to the oldest. I'm not going to guess which one's the oldest one in here. Or the youngest one. But everyone knew the words. Why? Because it's a very simple song. It's a very fun song. With a very easy message to understand. I have a Christian light. And I'm going to make sure that it's shining. I'm going to shine it all the time. I'm not going to hide it under a bush. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm going to shine. All the time. No matter what. I'm going to shine. We think about that, and when I was a kid, After that song, I would be walking around and be thinking, like, what? I still don't really understand what my Christian life is. Is this it? I mean, I'm going to shine my little Christian light. Is this my Christian light? Just here on my finger. And as a kid, I couldn't help but think of one thing. I may be showing my age. Some of y'all are like, what is that? But anyone close to my age or a little bit older, and then any of you that have cool parents that have made you watch this show, E.T. And I'm like, he had the brightest Christian light that I know of. I mean, look at that thing. He walked around, out, and had that big light on his finger. And I was like, that is a Christian. That was what I thought of as a kid. That was the thought that went through my mind. That was my mind processing Christian life. I watched this movie. I'm getting an idea. But we've got to, as we grow up, we start to understand these things. But that may be a question that you may be asking yourselves even tonight. What is my Christian light? And how do I make sure that it continues to shine in such a dark world? So we need to understand what light is. If you look up the word light in the dictionary, it's defined as something that makes vision possible. Several sources of light are celestial bodies like the sun, the moon, the stars. Other sources of light can be a candle, an electric light or lamp. The action of light is simply to remove darkness. Light and darkness cannot be in the same place. The simple action of light is to remove any and all darkness. So we see here that there are two different types of lights. There's physical light like the sun. And then there's spiritual inner light. Okay, it says, the definition further down says, a spiritual enlightenment or inner light. So now we're asking ourselves, well, which light are we talking about tonight? Are we talking about the physical or the spiritual? Well, they may be two of the same thing. Let's see if the Bible goes along with what we know about light so far. The first time the Bible mentions light, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, right? Right at the first of the Bible. Genesis 1. This is my first time using PowerPoint, so if I do bad, sorry. There we go. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So we see that God created light.
Can you imagine? Think about it. Can you imagine what life would be like if God never did that right there? If God never created light, what would it be like? Everything would be different. Time would be different. There'd be no way to separate one day from the other. It would all be one long night. I'm one night old. That's what everybody would be. Everybody would be the same age, one night old. There would be no... The ecosystem would be different. There'd be no solar power. There'd be no photosynthesis. I'm starting to sound smart, so let me get back on point. Our eyes would adjust differently. That'd be about the only cool thing I could think of, is like we'd all have like night vision or whatever. But our eyes would be different. They would focus different. We would see things and view things differently. Everything that we know of, the way that we live our lives today, would be different. Nothing would be as if we see it today. So we see that light is a necessity. In order for there to be life, in order for the world to work as it is, there must be light. Light is a necessity. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believeth in me may not remain in it. So see, we see that light has a purpose. To bring those that believe in God, to bring them out of darkness. God doesn't do anything without a reason. He made light to separate light. He made light to separate light and darkness. He made light for us, for the Christians, for God's children. Now, on your way over here, some of you may have traveled a little ways, a little bit further than others. I'm not sure you traveled the farthest to get here. But on your way over here, you might have come across some lights. You might have just run in contact with several different types of lights along the way. Here's a couple of them. And think about the lights that you saw, and think about the jobs that they have. Traffic lights. Well, they try to control the chaos in traffic. They don't always work, but they try to control the flow of traffic.
Headlights, well, they help you see the road in front of you. They help you. They help guide you along. Taillights, that's supposed to tell people when you're braking. And people aren't supposed to tailgate you. They're also supposed to, if you're way off and you're following somebody, you can see their taillights just a little ways out and you know which way they're going. It's a direction for you to kind of follow. Parking lot lights. You know, we're coming up on the seasons, and seasons can be dangerous. People robbing people breaking into cars. Sometimes parking lot lights, they help you see your surroundings. Street lights. A lot of times street lights are in curves to help you maneuver around those curves very carefully so you don't run off the road. And then, some of you may not have traveled that far, but I work in Huntsville, so every day on my way to and from work, I pass these runway lights by the airport. And clearly those are just as important as all the others. Maybe to some people they're more important because they help the plane land safely back down on the ground after such a long trip. So, you think about these man-made lights. And every individual light has a job. Certainly the light that God has put inside each and every one of us, our Christian light, has a job that's even more important than this. And we need to figure out what that job is. So what is that job? Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:14-16. So right here we are told that we are to be the light of the world, to let our inner light shine so that we can bring others to God. And as it says in verse 15 right there, that's what we were singing about earlier. We don't hide it under a basket, but we put it up on a stand. We don't hide it under a bushel. No. We set it up. We let it shine. So see, now it's kind of coming around. We're starting to see that, you know, something that we've learned back when we were 2 and 3 years old, this is a much bigger picture of what it is, of what our Christian life is to do. So that's why we sang about this as little kids. We're learning about Christian lights. Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 4 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see that they all gather together. They come to you." Isaiah 61 through 4. So once again, we are told to rise, not sit back and wait, not to watch for someone else to step up. We each are to stand up and rise and shine that bright, radiant Christian light out and let people see God through our actions and through our words. We are to be a beacon to everyone. So now think back about all those lights. All those lights we just talked about. All those different jobs that they had. Imagine that if our Christian light is shining and working as if God expected it to, our Christian light could do all the same things. Our Christian light could control the chaos of the world. It can lead us and others that we love down the right path. It can direct those behind us that are kind of trailing behind. Those that kind of stand back but then change their mind later on and come to follow. They have a light that they can follow ahead in front of them. It can keep sins further away. It can bring out the surroundings around us. And it keeps that sin that we have just right there in our grasp, it keeps it just a little bit further when we can't get a hold of it. It can guide us around the dangers that we're about to come in contact. It can guide us safely around them. And then it can also land us safely back home to heaven, no matter how far we think we may have flown away from God. It can lead us back to heaven and land us there safely. Now, there are only three reasons that a light doesn't work. And I know there's probably an electrician out here. I know there's someone that knows about electricity. And you're thinking, there's probably a million different ways why a light doesn't work. But they're wrong, I'm right. There's only three. And this is the three we're going with right here tonight. This is it. Number one, a bad power source. Number two, a bad connection. And number three, broken bulb and fixtures. And see, now the electrician's like, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the three problems. I was wrong. So there you go. There's your three reasons.
This is why our lights, our Christian lights, may not work.
Let's start with number one, a bad connection, a bad power source. A bad power source, sorry, number one, a bad power source. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So when we think about that, a bad power source, every light has to have it, whether it's a generator, whether it's little AA batteries or whatever size batteries it is that lights this thing up. Every light has to have a power source. Well, we are to be the light of the world. That's going to take quite a big generator. That's going to take quite a strong energy source for us to have. And we've got to understand that God is our energy. God is our power source. It says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's our power source. A lot of times, like I said, when we talk about our Christian life, we think about our Christian life and letting our light shine. We don't realize, we forget sometimes that God is the source that powers that bulb inside us, that gives us the strength to make it through the hard days, that gives us the strength to make it through the bad days, that gives us the strength to shine and show people that we are a Christian and we're happy to be a Christian. We understand how dark this world is, and we are to light up the entire world. Isaiah 60, verses 19 through 20. This is not working for me. Whoops. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrows will end. It says it twice right there. Everlasting. Y'all see that? Where are we at? Everlasting light, right there. And then once again, everlasting. When you think about these little lights, if we were to leave these lights on, that's why I keep telling you I'll cut them off. Because if we were to leave these lights on for about 2 days, maybe, they'd probably burn out, right? And those batteries, they just don't last long. Car batteries for the headlights and the taillights that we were talking about, they last maybe what? 4 to 5 years? And then after that, we got to change the battery. Right here, Jesus is telling us, God is telling us that He is our everlasting light. That's a long time. It's never going to burn out. Never going to burn out. So now we understand that the power source is good. So let's go to the next one, bad connection. Well, bad connection, you think about friends, you have to have a connection in order to make a relationship work. Whether it be the connection between parents and children, whether it be connection between best friends, connections between brothers and sisters, boyfriends and girlfriends, husbands and wives, and between God and His children. We have to have that connection. Many times, when we go on for years and years, we lose track of our friends from high school. We lose track of our childhood best friends. And then 10, 15, 20 years down the road, someone comes and taps you on the shoulder, and you turn around and you're like, yes? I have no idea who this person is. Because you've lost contact with them. You haven't seen them in years. They've changed. Man, you've been working out. Okay, I see. Or someone else. Man, what happened to you? I went out on surgery one time. I was out on surgery for about 2 or 3 months. You have any idea how much Netflix you can watch in 2 or 3 months? You have any idea how many tubs of cheese balls you can eat in 2 or 3 months? I came back to work, and my best friend looked at me, and he was like, met me at the car. I get out of the car. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, what did you do? And I was like, what are you talking about? I gained about 20 pounds from those things. We lose connection with these people. We lose connection. And we're not the same. The same as with God. When we lose connection with God, He may be standing right there beside us. And we don't even realize it. God's talking to us and we're not listening. We're looking for God everywhere and He's right there. But we don't even recognize Him. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. You know, just about every picture I try to find, it didn't finish with verse 10. This is verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And it finishes with, yet the world did not know him.
God's here. Jesus came into the world. The light was here. And people walked right up to him and still questioned him. Who are you? People still doubting Thomas. The disciples, they spoke to him, but they didn't even know him sometimes because they were lost. The people there crucified him because they didn't believe he was who he said he was. We have the same problem today. So many times Jesus is talking to us. We're praying to God. We're praying and talking to him. And he answers back to us. We don't hear him. Why? Because we don't have that connection and we don't recognize who he is.
So we've got to make sure we have a good connection. Finally, the third reason is we may be broken. We may be a broken life. Light changes everything.
I want y'all to listen really closely as I read these. I want you to tell me this is how you're feeling. Because we read through a bunch of verses. We discussed what our responsibility is as a Christian light. Is we are to light up the world. We are to lead lots of people, whole nations. People are to follow us. And this may be how some of you feel tonight. Oh Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no help in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I utterly bow down and prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. My sides are filled with burning. I'm feeble and crushed. I groan because of the anguish in my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs. My strength fails me. And the light of my eyes has gone out. That's Psalms 38, verses 1 through 10. Guys, we need to realize tonight that we're not the only ones. David wrote this. This is Psalms. David wrote this thousands of years ago. And he's a man after God's own heart. And he was feeling this way. And now in 2019, about to be 2020, us as Christians are still struggling with this on a daily basis. We have some of these feelings. We feel crushed. We feel feeble. We feel like we're not worthy to be that Christian like God. I've been dark for a long time. My light's been out for a long time. I am broken. And I just don't think I can fix this. You need to understand tonight that you are not the only ones feeling this way. You are not the only one in here struggling with your Christianity. And it doesn't get any better as you get older, I promise. You ask your parents, trust your parents. I'm a parent, trust me. It doesn't get any easier. You know, a lot of times, for adults, I'll start with the adults, at work, you hear Alabama-Auburn football, you hear somebody talking about Alabama-Auburn, you'll be all the way down at the other end, Roll Tide. Somebody, War Eagle, hey, let me tell you about what happened 5 years ago. You remember that game? You remember that game? Speak up all nice and loud. At the high school rivals, which school's better? You know, you're going to argue, Decatur, Austin, Priceville, Decatur Heritage. People are going to speak up because that's my school. I got pride in my school. I speak proudly of that. You may want to throw your 2 cents in when they're talking about Marvel. Look, I agree with you that Captain America can whoop Iron Man any day of the week. There's no point in arguing it. I agree with you. We'll talk about it later if you disagree. But why do we turn and head the other way the fastest when it's situations that we need to talk about? And this is for adults and for kids too. You know, abortion is an option. You know, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, it's okay. Love the one you want because God is love. Now, so many times we look the other way, I'm not going to be a part of that conversation.
No good would come out of me. I'm not putting my two cents in. I'm not getting into this. I'm not getting into that. I'm not talking about it. But we'll argue about the small things. We are children of light. We are God's children. These are the conversations that we need to speak up on, because we need to shine a light on these lies that are being taught, and people are taking it and just understanding it and going with it, saying that this is okay. Ephesians 5:13. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But expose the light, and it will be expose them from the light, and it will be visible." We are the light. We are the light. This is for tall people, I'm short. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Matthew 6:22-23. That's a scary thought. When you think that there's light in you, and it's actually darkness. That's a scary thought. I'm good. I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I know I dodge some of these things, but I'm still a Christian. I'm good. God's telling us right here that if our light has gone out and it has become darkness, how deep that darkness is. That's deeper than others. That's deeper than those who don't know right from wrong. We know right, and we choose to do wrong. We know the truth, but we avoid the truth. That's dangerous. Would you go ahead and get your lights out? Look back down there, memorize that light again. Guys, this world is getting dark. It's getting darker each and every day. And why is that? It's getting darker each and every day. Because every day, Christian lights are going out. Every day. And if we're not careful, sooner or later, we're going to be left in darkness. We're going to be left in darkness. And you think to yourself, God, if I can just be that one light, if I can just be it. Everybody turn your ones on. Who's got a one? Turn it on. If I can just be a light, and I can reach out to my friends and family, right there. I can reach out to them, my friends and family. Bring them out a little bit. Okay, I'm not as scared. There's a little bit of light in here. Well, then the friends and family say, you know what? This is better than the darkness. I mean, I see some light. Let me tell my friends about it. Let me tell their friends about it. Twos, where are you at? Twos. It starts getting a little bit brighter in here. A little bit. There's not full darkness now. And the twos start talking about it. And then there's people outside that see the light, and they're stuck in complete darkness. So they start coming in. They're like, hey, I want to be part of this light. Threes, where are you at? And you start seeing it light up. And then people way off to the side, like, okay, there's a building totally full of light. We're in darkness over there. We're totally full of light. Fours, where are you at? And at some point in time, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And before we know it, we can light the world back up. Now hold your lights. Hold your lights up high. I want you to remember this. I want you to think about this. This is a very small keepsake. Very small. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take this home with you, and wherever you need it, whether it's at home when you're arguing with your parents, whether it's at school when you decide to act a little differently when you're away from your parents and you're at school, adults and parents, when you're at work, and there's someone that you struggle with, there's a boss that you struggle with, there's a coworker that you can't stand, if there's a student that sits next to a certain class, take it in your backpack, take it in your purse, take it in the car, set it next to you in the car, wherever you need it. Take this out. Keep those things held up high. Y'all's arms aren't that tired. Come on. Hold it up. Light it up. At that moment, when you feel like your light is about to go out, when you feel like, God, I'm struggling, turn it on. Look at it. Just remember that we are the light of the world. Recharge your battery and go on about your day. All right, you can cut it off, man. Your arms look like you're getting tired. Some of y'all getting shaky. So how do we go from darkness to light? Because many of us, we've dealt with this. Many of us are still dealing with this. And we think to ourselves, God, I've been in darkness for a while. I've been lost for a long time. My light bulb has been shot out. I don't even know if it works anymore. I don't know if that fixture even works anymore. Well, how do we go from there? Well, I have to read this one. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has chosen us. He has picked us out of the crowd. We are His children. And He tells us that we cannot be in darkness. We are chosen. And we are chosen to be part of His marvelous light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. There we are again, told to expose everything. This is to remind us. He's reminding us not to fall back into the darkness. Instead, expose it with our lights. Let me close with one final verse. 1 John 1:5-7. Then this is the message which we have heard of Him. This is kind of summing it all up. And declare unto you that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Tonight you may be trapped in the middle.
There may be a sin that is just holding on to you so hard, it's pulling you back, and you got half of you in the darkness and half of you in the light. Maybe some of you are wanting to reconnect from that amazing power source to your light. Maybe you realize that you've lost connection. Maybe you know that you're shot out. Maybe you know that you are a broken bowl and you need to be replaced. You're like, God, I need it. I need some help here. Maybe you've never put on the name Christian. Maybe tonight you think to yourself, you know, I want to be part of this light. I don't want to be left in darkness. You come forward, you confess your sins, you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You be buried in a watery grave of baptism, and you're washed away of that darkness. You're washed away of that sin, and you rise up a new, bright, radiant, shining Christian light for all the world to see. Whatever your need is, a whole room of people stand ready to help you, stand ready to give you a hug and tell you you're not alone. And remember that you are not alone on this. Whatever your need may be, let it be known now as together we stand and as we sing.